Welcome back to the Super Series Elite AAA Podcast, brought to you by the guys from the Blue Line Hockey Club Podcast. This week we talk to you about the New Jersey Showcase and Chicago and Las Vegas Invite, with special guest Jeremy Dowell, co-owner of the Super Series Elite AAA Showcases. Let's get started.
Hello, welcome back to the Super Series AAA Podcast, brought to you by the Blue Line Hockey Club. We've got all the usual suspects sitting in the house tonight. Our producer, Patrick Uncle Sullivan. What's up, Patrick?
Aloha.
And our IT guy, the local nerd on staff, Robbie Pete Peters. What's up, Pete?
Hey, how you mama now?
And the all-around sports guru, Derek D-Train Heatu. How you doing, D-Train?
What's up, sweeto?
And your host of the Super Series AAA show tonight, Mark the Dr. Morley.
Oh, Doc.
And we have a special guest sitting in with us tonight, one of the owners of the Super Series AAA showcases, Jeremy Dalla. How's it going, Jeremy?
Going great. Thank you for taking the time to meet today.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on. Obviously, we're just getting in. This is podcast number three for the Super Series, and we're getting into the first tournament that we've covered for the Super Series podcast, and so far so good. And it's glad to have you come on and, you know, fill us in a little bit of your perspective on the tournaments and what's been going on this past weekend. Obviously, we had tournaments in Chicago and Vegas and a showcase in New Jersey. So a lot going on for you guys this past weekend. I don't know how y'all keep it all straight.
Yeah, it's a great, we're trying to figure it out as we go along.
I mean, total number of teams with three different showcases tournaments going on. I mean, what are we at, like 140?
About 150, between 140 and 150.
Yeah.
The majority in New Jersey, which was a large showcase, and then the event in Las Vegas and Chicago were smaller, just one age group. But great hockey this weekend, for sure.
For sure, yeah. I mean, there's multiple people obviously involved in your organization. And was there one tournament or showcase that you were – focusing on more as your role this past weekend, or were you kind of just following all of them?
Well, I basically run the day-to-day operations of Super Series, so I'm involved with all of them, but I live in New Jersey, so that event, I was definitely spotted at a bunch of the rinks this past weekend, for sure.
Nice. Yeah, a lot of hockey going on, that's for sure, in New Jersey. And you grew up in Long Island area as well. Obviously, it's very close proximity to New Jersey, so spreading them out to the rinks across the tri-state area there.
The Long Island event, it's not the easiest to get. It's mileage-wise, it's really close. Traffic-wise in New York, you don't want to be going back and forth all day, but it's probably only from one of the rinks in New Jersey, it's probably only about 30 miles to Long Island.
Yeah, 30 miles and like $20 in tolls, and it gets you there.
You haven't been here in a while. A lot more than
that. Yeah, I did see the Verrazano Bridge. I think alone is like 15, 17 bucks or something like that nowadays.
Yeah, you can avoid that one, but it's not cheap.
All right.
Yeah, so Jeremy, talk a bit about the New Jersey Invite this weekend. Tell us about your thoughts and what went on.
Yeah, so we hosted age groups from basically as young as 2010 birth year, and then all the way up through the U15 and U16 age group. So the 2010s were they're our youngest age group, and we had the Providence Capitals, who are one of the top 2010 teams in the country. They did go 5-0 over the weekend, had some really, really good games. The 2009 birth year was probably the most competitive. We had the number one team based on my hockey rankings, X Hockey, which is coached by Bryce Salvador, former New Jersey Devil. And they actually, this is a team that's really been dominant all year, and they actually lost and tied a game this weekend. So that doesn't happen very often. So that just shows the level of competition. We had a team from California, the California Gold Rush, also one of the top teams, and they played six games. We did, New Jersey was a showcase, not a tournament. So all teams got five games. We were able to give California a sixth game because for them, and that's one of the real beneficial things about what we do, they don't get a lot of good games. Being out on the West Coast, there's not a lot of competition for them. So when they come here, we're able to give them extra games. So they played six super competitive games. And one of the biggest upsets this weekend, we had the Philly Hockey Club actually knocked off X Hockey. So it was just an all-around great, terrific weekend for the 2009 group. We also had the Chicago Mission in town. They played seven games this weekend, actually. They started off the weekend at the Prudential Center, home of the NHL New Jersey Devils.
Nice.
On Friday, they played two games against X Hockey. And then played five games in the regular showcase. So they also came here and were able to get seven high-end games in. So, again, one of the benefits of running a showcase model rather than a tournament. And then 2008, birth year, Chicago Mission, again, they were also there and had a great weekend and went 4-1. Westchester Vipers, who are semi-local, went 5-0 and had a really good weekend. And at the 2007 level, that was the smallest birth year, basically, because a lot of the 2007s right now are up in Quebec at the Pee Wee tournament. It was a little bit smaller grouping for us this weekend, but also really competitive. And 2006, again, 2006 and 2005, both great groups. 2006, a team came in all the way from Nashville. And just to give you an idea, I mean, you guys, I'm sure, know this. All over the country, but Nashville went 5-0. Florida Alliance at 2006 went 4-1, and the South Florida Hockey Academy went 4-1. So, three teams from the South coming up north and just really performing well. And then at the U15 U16 level, we had a little bit of an upset at the U15 level where Team Maryland knocked off the New Jersey Rockets, who are a top 10 team. So all around, just great hockey. Really fun to watch, you know, just seeing so many good young players and the level of competition. The one thing, and I listened to the last podcast that you guys did with my partner, Steve Dubinsky. The one thing that we really take pride in is the amount of 1- and 2-goal games that teams play at our event. We work really hard to schedule teams the right way so they play close games. And so it really worked out well this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at that, like you mentioned, that 2009 age group, Jeremy, I mean, even the team that came in 10th place, I mean, they were 3-2, their record in that portion of the showcase. So, I mean, that was pretty impressive. And you look at, I mean, just overall, like you say, your whole tournament, I mean, everybody's winning games, a lot of goals being scored. You know, it's just the parity is unreal. I mean, it's awesome how you bring in all these different age groups and yet still bring competitive hockey, no matter what age group we're talking about.
Well, and if you want another great example of that, the 2009 level, a team that out of 23 teams, the team that was in 19th place, the Connecticut Junior Rangers, went 1-4, and their goal differential was a +2.
Yeah.
So go figure that. Yeah. But yeah. If you look at our differentials, I mean, right in the middle of the pack, you have teams with, you know, 20 goals for, 17 against, 24, 18 against. So terrific hockey, and just all these teams played at a high end, and every game is competitive. And that's really our goal here, because at the end of the day, you know, families are, these are kids, and people are spending a lot of money to travel. And that was the foundation of Super Series, was built about giving teams competitive games, because no matter where you go, whether you're going to the most competitive event in the country or the least competitive, the hotel rooms still cost the same price. The airfare or the gas or the toll still cost the same amount. So our main mission, the total mission really of what we do, is to give teams five great games. And that's how the kids get better at the end of the day.
Yeah. And Jeremy, that 2005 birth year, you know, I was just looking through, and, you know, New Jersey seems to be really producing a lot of great kids or hockey players at that birth year, and to be able to bring, you know, teams in to Jersey, you know, if they're looking at my rankings and, you know, for 2005 birth year in New Jersey, the Hitmen, the Rockets, you know, the Philadelphia Hockey Club. I mean, that says a lot, you know, these teams from Florida and California want to come to New Jersey and play these top teams.
And that's a great point, because I'll tell you, in the last, you know, 7-8 years, New Jersey has really, the level of really good hockey players coming out of New Jersey is, and New York as well. I mean, you know, Adam Fox from the Rangers, who's a 1998 birth year from Long Island, played in our events when he was growing up. And just the amount of players now playing Division I hockey, or even getting to the NHL, who are from the New York, New Jersey area. Tony DeAngelo, also on the Rangers, is a New Jersey guy, Philly suburbs, but in New Jersey. So, you know, the presence here in New York, New Jersey, and Philadelphia has really been, it's really improved. And so we're able now to get teams to come from places where historically teams wouldn't want to really come from Boston or come from Michigan or come from you know, Canada to come play in this area. Now they do. For this event, the youth hockey in Canada, the season sort of one is already pretty much over by now. So we don't bring as many Canadian teams to this event, but a lot of our events, we have teams from Canada coming to the U.S. and playing these teams, which really was not common if you go back, you know, even 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when we were playing hockey, we were going to Canada to get the competition, because that's where all the good teams were.
That's right.
Talking about that, a little bit more about that 2005 birth year, Jeremy, It was won by Palmyra Black Knights, correct? And they had a looks like they put a lot of goals in the net and kept a lot out. So they must have some good goaltending and some good scorers out there.
They Palmyra's really been an organization that has really done a great job of improving. It's run by a guy named Antoine Bergeron, who has been a great supporter of our events, and I think one of the big reasons is our events has given them the opportunity to really come out and play against really high end quality teams. And so this event, they're really an improving club. And I think next year, one of their goals is to start to go to, I know when you spoke with Steve most recently, he talked a little bit about the fact that the way our events are structured now, in the past, they were really geared towards only the elite teams. And now we've kind of worked our model where we're able to give great competition to any level team. And I think Palmyra is getting to the point with some of their teams where they're going to be able to next year play against some of the really high end teams, because they seem to be getting better every year.
That's awesome. I mean, if you run down like each age group and you see where the teams came from, it's pretty neat because it came from all different parts of the country. You know, 2010, you get Providence, 2009, the New Jersey Avalanche, 2008, Westchester, 2007. You're looking at, you know, people from Boston.
Yeah, the Boston Bandits come to town. Yeah. And remember, and like I mentioned before, 2007, because of the Quebec Pee Wee tournament, a lot of teams either are there or they have players off their teams that have gone with other teams, so they really sort of take this week off. But yeah, that's really true. At the 2009, for example, you know, we had the California Gold Rush and we had the Boston Advantage and the Chicago Mission. I mean, so we really were represented by teams from all over, and it really gave a great opportunity for a team like the North Jersey Avalanche they beat the Chicago Mission, they beat the California Gold Rush, and those are two of the best teams in the country. So for a group like the Avalanche, it's a great opportunity to be at home, not have to travel, and get the opportunity to play a team from Chicago or a team from California. So
yeah, at the same time, playing these top caliber teams. So when it goes back to my hockey rankings for national rankings, for the national tournament, bumps them up to, you know, a higher spot to try to get into the tournament.
Yeah, and at the 2009 level, they're not, a little bit different because they're still squirts. There's not a kind of an end of the year nationals for them. So this is sort of a highlight. You know, that's one of the ways we view it, is this is kind of the highlight for these guys, because there is no nationals yet for them. So for a team from New Jersey to get to play Chicago and California and the Boston Advantage, like, you know, that's almost like their nationals.
Yeah.
And so for us, you know, and I know Steve feels the same way, you know, rankings in youth hockey. They're a little, you know, maybe a little questionable in the sense of, you know, I don't think at 10 years old, these teams really necessarily need to be playing for a ranking. But what I will say is that of my hockey rankings is the database of games, because you can look at a team and you can look, you pretty much see every game they've played. And that's what allows us, I mean, we really take the time to go through every single game and match these teams up properly. So, you know, we can't be perfect 100% of the time, but most of the time, what you'll see is that we're going to try to avoid playing a team against the team they've already played during the season. We're going to avoid playing a team against the team that they play in the same league as. And that's one of the, to me, that's what the true value of that, what the owners of that site have built, is a database. And that's really what benefits these players and the families the most, is that when they travel, they're not, I found when I was taking my son to hockey tournaments, when they were playing, end up playing a team that was 5 miles away from us. And the people that organized it didn't really care. They were just throwing teams out there. And they didn't take the time to really match teams up properly. And that's one of the reasons Super Series was created. And one of the kind of missions that we've had from day one is to put that time and care into the schedule, and that's what we've done. So it works really well. And I think that's why teams come back to so many of our events.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can kind of sum up that New Jersey showcase by, you know, talking about a group of young guys, that Chicago Mission, the 2008 birth year, with a plus 28, and they still came in third. So it talks about the strength of your tournament and the strength of the teams that are playing in it. That's pretty amazing.
It is. And again, you know, I think one of the, I'll just point out, one of the great things in the showcase model is that, you know, and we did have two tournaments this weekend as well, but in the showcase model, one of the great things is that these teams are getting their five games in, and they don't have the pressure of having to make a playoff game. And, you know, a lot of events, a lot of tournaments, you'll only get three or four games if you don't make the playoffs. So the coach sort of has the pressure to push and make sure they win a game to get into the playoffs, to get those extra games. And that causes sometimes coaches to shorten the bench or maybe just do things that normally they wouldn't want to do in a youth hockey event, because for the overall team, they want to get that extra game. And they want to make sure they get into the playoffs. So I think one of the things we really take pride in is that this event, these teams are getting their five games, and, you know, what place they come in isn't necessarily as important as the quality of the five games that they're getting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with parents traveling, you know, distances that they are, they want to get as much ice time as they can for their kids and coaches too. But Jeremy, talk to us about the U16, the Tomorrow's Ice. I believe they're out of Maryland, north of Baltimore. They beat some pretty big teams. I didn't see them in the rankings, but they beat, Philly Junior Flyers. They beat the New Jersey Rockets, premier, first place in the rankings there. Do you know much about Tomorrow's Ice?
You know, I was really impressed with the way they played this week. Tomorrow's Ice is sort of an up-and-coming program, and so they sent teams this year at U16, U15, as well as 2005 and 2006. The 2005-2006 group struggled a little bit. They were competitive for sure, but the 2016 group really came to play, and they were really impressive, especially – you know, the wins over the Little Flyers, who are a member of the AYHL, which is a very strong league. The Rockets U16 elite team, which is a USPHL team. So really strong weekend for them, for sure. And I'm glad you brought them up, because with 125 teams, I can't bring up every single team that deserves credit, but there are a lot of them. And so that's a good one that you picked up.
Yeah, I was just amazed by, you know, not being ranked and beating some of these top teams and putting on a good showing in the tournament. I mean, they stuck right out to me, and I immediately went right to their website, went right to my hockey rankings to check them out. So, yeah, I was pretty impressed with that.
Yeah, they had a great weekend. And that again, that's one of the things our model has sort of changed, where years ago we wouldn't have a team like that. And it's definitely beneficial for those guys. So it worked out really well.
Yeah, and overall, a great weekend of hockey. You're talking about the squirt level and not really mattering about winning and stuff like that. But we are talking about minor hockey here, and we do have minor hockey parents. And they want their teams to win, and they want to look at my hockey rankings. And, you know, it's
part of it. I didn't say it didn't matter.
Yeah.
You don't get me in trouble.
No, it's, you know how minor hockey is. I mean, it seems to be a little bit different than a lot of other sports. I mean, the parents are taking it, you know, more serious than the players, and, you know, they really want to see where their teams rank and all that kind of stuff. So even at the young age.
Without a doubt. And it's fun, and, you know, I definitely did not say – it doesn't matter. What I would say is that there's other stuff that matters also.
Yeah. No, and it is great. You're right. And, you know, the way the USA Hockey is going, they're really preaching to make sure coaches are making sure these kids have fun, you know, keep them interested in the game. You know, at this level, these kids are, you know, obviously already interested in hockey. They're playing in an elite showcase. But, you know, that is, you know, getting these kids interested, keeping them playing the game, and wanting them to play an extended season. Like in New Jersey, even if they're the Canadian team that came down, I think in Vegas, Burnaby, you know, their season might be over, but, you know, they're still playing.
Well, they're a little bit different than what I referred to earlier. I was really talking about the teams from Ontario. Burnaby's out in Vancouver, in British Columbia, so their season is a little bit different than the teams in Ontario. The Ontario teams, they have playoffs around this time. That's why they can't come down. But, Burnaby on the West Coast, it's a whole different world out there. So,
Let's touch on that Vegas showcase out there. There is a lot of ranked teams out there. I mean, almost all the teams are ranked. Yeah, I guess so. We're from upstate New York, Syracuse, close to our hometown. So they put on a good showing. But just talk a little bit about that, Jeremy. I know that the tournament was at the Las Vegas Golden Knights practice facility, which, I mean, is just awesome for parents and players. But just the overall competition, too, just looked amazing.
Yeah, you know what? Not only was it great competition, but it was a really, it's a kind of a diverse group of teams. So the way we did it, there were eight teams at the 2006 birth year, and so they were split into two divisions. So there were two teams from Anaheim and two teams from Phoenix area, but they wouldn't meet each other until the playoffs. So you have a team like Syracuse playing against the Burnaby Winter Club and the Colorado Thunderbirds and Arizona Bobcats and the Phoenix Coyotes, and then you also have, you know, teams like Burnaby gets to come here and play Dallas and Anaheim and Syracuse and just teams they would never see. And the biggest, the way this was set up was all eight teams made the playoffs. So there was a quarterfinal. So basically the pool play was just for seeding purposes. And the Anaheim Junior Ice Dogs, who went 0-4 in the pool play, won two playoff games and made it to the finals. They won the quarterfinal game and the semifinal game, and they ended up losing to Burnaby in the finals. But it just shows you the level of competition that team could lose, you know, four straight games, but be strong enough to bounce back and win two playoff games. First, they beat their crosstown rivals, the Anaheim Ducks, in a shootout 4-3, and then they beat a really good Syracuse team 3-0 in the semifinals. And then they played Burnaby and lost 2-1 in a great game. So if nothing else, that indicates the level of talent at this event. When you have a team that went 0-4 in pool play and still managed to then knock off two wins in the playoffs and make it to the finals.
Yeah, I was wondering if they flew in a new goalie or something from Anaheim.
I don't think so. And if the goalie's parents are listening, I will say definitely not. Definitely not. But no, they're a very good team. You know, they're actually in the tier two rankings, but they're, I think, a top three tier two team. And any team that's ranked that high at tier two is competitive with tier one teams. So
yeah, no doubt. No, I'm just kidding around, but I mean, it was kind of interesting to watch them, like you said, kind of struggle through that pool play and then, you know, kind of turn it on there. And maybe it just took a little bit to settle in and, you know, get used to the big show that they are being a part of. So I thought it was amazing, but, you know, Burnaby really kind of cruised through that, you know, tournament. They're an amazing team, you know, look at the rankings and everything like that, but they went through that. But Anaheim gave them obviously quite a game in the final. So that was pretty interesting to see.
Yeah.
I was really kind of compelled by that tournament. I thought it was neat how, you know, the junior ice or the Anaheim Junior Ice Dogs kind of came out of nowhere and just started showing up there at the end.
Yeah, well, so a couple things. First of all, I would say that Burnaby, as good as they were, you know, they had their game against Syracuse was 6-4, but there was an empty net at the end, so it was really a one-goal game. The game against Dallas was a 3-0 game, but also very close. They beat the Anaheim Ducks 2-1, so they won every game, but they were close games, and so they seemed to just have every time they were in a tight game, they were able to do it. They really did what it took to get the wins there, but there was a lot of close games. And as far as the Junior Ice Dogs you mentioned before, I think what we've seen a lot of is teams that are either double A, but very strong double A teams, or teams that are sort of from these remote hockey areas, and Anaheim Ice Dogs qualify at both. It sometimes takes them a few games to catch up to the speed because they're not used to playing at that pace.
Sure.
And so we see that a lot when we run these events and a team comes from St. Louis or if it comes from Florida, they just don't have enough opportunity to play at that level of competition. Even a lot of times they'll play against, you know, double A teams that are a year older than them. So they're challenging games because the kids are older and stronger, but they really don't see that speed of the game until they come to these types of events. And in their case, I think it just took them a few games to catch up. And when they did, they really were impressive.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's so good for these kids, though, too. Obviously, like you say, coming from wherever they're coming from, you know, to get the experience and settle in and, you know, play up to the competition they're playing. I mean, it's only going to be good for all of them going forward. So that's awesome.
That's the goal. Yeah.
I want to just touch on Chicago fellas real quick and run down through that.
Yeah, sure. It looks like the Sharks did well out there, eh?
Sharks did great. So the way this event worked, there were six teams at 2008 birth year, and so everybody played each other once for, you know, in a round robin, and then the Sharks and the Gamblers from the Green Bay area played each other in the championship game. So the way it worked out is they got five games playing the other teams. And then the Gamblers, who in the first game lost to the Sharks 7-4 during the round robin, then they met up again in the finals and the Gamblers beat the Sharks 3-1 in a really great game. So they took home the championship. And even though the Sharks were 5-0 in the round robin, so great, just great hockey.
Yeah, once again, great tourney. I mean, all of these tournaments, it was just a great weekend of hockey. The amount of competition at each tournament just seemed unbelievable. So just good stuff for the showcase, or for the Super Series showcase tournaments. What's going on for the next tournament that you're going to be hosting?
So this week, President's Weekend, our last weekend of the regular season.
Yep.
Sort of. We call the regular season, and then we start spring hockey. So in May, May 1st to 3rd, we host the Top Tier Toronto event, which has been, this is our 10th year. We bring in, there's two divisions, there's an elite and a AAA division. The elite division is, you know, really, really strong. And then after that, we run our events, the Triple Crown series that starts this year. We have an event, The Clash, which I don't know if Steve touched on it in the last podcast, but I think that in one of the upcoming podcasts, we'll have to devote the entire episode to The Clash and the Triple Crown, which are a series of events that this year begins with the 2009 birth year, and with the Clash, and then the Triple Crown. We have events in Chicago, Montreal, Nashville, then wrapping up in Boston at an event called the Finale, which is the last year that these players play in the events. And those are the highest level spring events out there. So that's a podcast unto itself, though.
Keeping it going. Love it. Well, Jeremy, appreciate you taking time out of your evening to speak to the Blue Liners here and the Super Series AAA podcast. It's been great to have you on and talk about these three showcases and tournaments that went on this past weekend. Unbelievable competition for these young hockey players, and many good things coming up this spring for the Super Series. So we'll be covering it, and appreciate your time tonight, man.
I appreciate it, and the players deserve they deserve all the credit, because that's what makes it fun. And you walk into the rink and you see these 10 and 11 year old kids doing things that are just phenomenal, and the work that they put in. And then obviously when you get to the older birth years and you watch the level of play in the 15s and 16s, they really look like young men out there. And so it's been fun. A lot of these kids, we've seen them all the way through. So it's great to end the season with an event like these. And we appreciate you guys covering it.
Yeah, great for the sport. And we appreciate you guys doing what you do. A lot of organization and putting things together. And you guys are doing a great job. So appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, Jeremy.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, sir.
Have a good one. All right, boys. Jamie Dallo sitting in with us tonight, speaking a little bit about the Super Series AAA tournaments that we had this weekend. Obviously, the tournament out in Vegas and tournament in Chicago. And then they have the showcase style in New Jersey. So, that was pretty cool how they set up these tournaments. Obviously, these huge tournaments, a little bit harder to pull these kids and get into some kind of playoffs. So the showcase style seems to be a great way to go to get these teams to have five games. And, especially the teams traveling from a long ways away, so it's great to cover all these tournaments. Getting looking forward to getting into the spring season with the Super Series as well. And, great weekend of hockey, fellas.
It's just great that they, put these showcases and tournaments on for these teams to be able to, get together throughout the year and play each other, like we were saying, Western Canada, California, Dallas, Florida, Connecticut, Boston, New Jersey, Maryland. So we can go on and on. So it's great that they do this so these teams can get that exposure and play each other throughout the year, a couple times a year, depending on how many times they go to the showcases tournament. So kudos to them, man. Great, great product they're putting out.
All right, boys, great podcast, and we'll be back with the Super Series in a few weeks. So stay tuned, check us out. You can find this on the BlueLineHockeyClub.com if you want to listen to any of the Super Series podcasts. We'll be putting some of this stuff on YouTube as well, so check that out if you want to watch the video. And until next time, folks, keep your stick on the ice.
See ya. We know.
Oh, doctor.
Keep your head up.
Yeah. Nope.